Welcome to Zichud Avsim Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Erev and Daf Lamed Zayin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, we go on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah holds the concept of Brera. The Gemara there brought a statement from Rav that the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda is incorrect, based on a brisa that I taught that indicate that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Brera. The Gemara brings another source of Rabbi Yehuda rejects validity of Brera from a Tosefta that states that if one bought a barrel of wine from Kusim, and he has no kelim to separate Trumas and Maisras, Rav Meir says he should say, two lugin which I shall separate in the future from these 100 lugin of wine are hereby designated as Truma. 10 lugin which I shall separate later are designated now as Maisra Rishon. 9 lugin are designated now as Maisra Sheni immediately by transferring its Kedusha on the coins. And after doing this, a person may immediately drink, provided he leaves over enough wine for the various separations. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon forbid this because they reject the concept of Brera. So we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Brera. Ua disputes this version of the Tosefta and says that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir that Brera is valid. Point number two, Rava asks Rav Nachman who the Tana was in a Brisa that doesn't accept the concept of Brera even with regard to a Durabanan. The Brisa taught that if one said to five people, I'm making an error for whomever of you that I later choose, the one that I've chosen will be permitted to go beyond the Tchum and the ones I have not chosen will not be permitted to go beyond the Tchum. If he chose while it's still Friday, his Erev is valid, whereas if he chose once it became dark, the Erev is invalid. Clearly, the Tana of this Braisa rejects the validity of Brera, even for the Drabbanan of Tchum. Rav Nachman didn't know who the Tana was. The Gemara asks why Rav Nachman doesn't tell Rava that the Tana comes from the school of Ayo, and answers that Rav Nachman had not heard of Ayo's version of Rabbi Yehuda. And point number three, the Gemara addresses conflicting Braises, one in which Rabbi Shimon does not accept the concept of Brera, and one in which he does, and suggests that the rulings in one Braisa are reversed, so that Rabbi Shimon is consistent in not accepting the concept of Brera. The Gemara questions the need for the solution, since it could have been suggested that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a Brera in Daraisa cases, such as the case of separating Trumas and Maisras, but does accept it in Durabanan, such as the case of Tchum. And answers that the Amora who reversed the rulings holds that the one who accepts Brera holds it applies to both Daraisas and Durabanans, and the one who rejects Brera rejects it for both Daraisas and Durabanans. So once again, the three points are number one. We learned on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah holds the concept of the Brera. So the Gemara there brought a statement from Rav that the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda is incorrect based on a Braisa that Ayo taught that indicated that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Brera. The Gemara here brings another source of Rabbi Yehuda rejects the validity of Brera from a Tosefta that states that if one bought a barrel of wine from Kusim and he has no kelim to separate Trumas and Maisras, Rabbi Meir says he should say, to lugin which I shall separate in the future from these 100 lugin of wine are hereby designated as Truma. 10 lugin, which I shall separate later, are designated now as Maisra Rishon. 9 lugin are designated now as Maisra Sheni immediately by transferring his Kedusha onto coins. And after doing this, the person may immediately drink, provided he leaves over enough wine for the various separations. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon forbid this because they reject the concept of Brera. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the validity of Brera. Ula disputes this version of the Tosefta and says that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir that Brera is valid. Point number two, Rava asked Rav Nachman who the Tana was in a Braisa that doesn't accept the concept of Brera even with regard to the Rabbanim. The Braisa taught that if one said to five people, I'm making an error for whomever of you that I will later choose, the one I have chosen will be permitted to go beyond the Tchum, and the ones I have not chosen will not be permitted to go beyond the Tchum. If he chose while it's still Friday, his Erev is valid, whereas if he chose once it became dark, the Erev is invalid. Clearly, the Tana of this Braisa rejects the validity of Brera even for the Rabbanim of Tchum. Rav Nachman didn't know who the Tana was. The Gemara asked why Rav Nachman doesn't tell Rava the Tana comes from the school of Ayo, and answers that Rav Nachman had not heard of Ayo's version of Rabbi Yehuda. And point number three, the Gemara addresses conflicting braises, one in which Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept the concept of Brera, one in which he does, and suggests that the rulings in one braise are reversed, so that Rabbi Shimon is consistent in not accepting the concept of Brera. So the Gemara questions the need for the solution, since it could have been suggested that Rabbi Shimon does not hold a Brera in Daraisa cases, such as the case of separating Trumas and Maisras, but does accept it in Durabanan, such as in the case of Tchum, and answers that the Amora who reversed the rulings holds that the one who accepts Brera holds it applies to both the Rices and the Rabbanans, and the one who rejects Brera rejects it for both the Rices and the Rabbanans. All right, so now we go to our Simon for Daf Lamed Zayin, and the Simon is Laser Tag. Laser Tag is our Simon. So here goes. The Laser Tag champ, who hid behind the Kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maisras, successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team, to go beyond the Tchum and share the message that Brera never works for Daraisas or for Durabanans. Once again, in slow motion. The Laser Tag champ. Laser Tag, that must mean we're on Duff Lamed Zion. The laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas of Maestras, which reminds that Rav said the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda accepting Brera is incorrect, based on a brisa that I taught that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the validity of Brera in the case of verbally separating Trumas and Maestras with the intent to physically separate them later. So the laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maestras successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team, to go beyond the Trum, which reminds us that an unknown Tana rejected the validity of Brera, even in the case of the Rabban, such as in the case of a person stating to five people that he's making an error for one of them that he will later choose to permit to go beyond the Trum, and then choosing the person on Shabbos. So the laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maestras successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team, to go beyond the Tchum and share the message that Brera never works for Derises or for Derabbanans. Which reminds that the Amora who resolved conflicting Brises regarding whether Rabbi Shimon held a Brera or not did not resolve it by saying that Rabbi Shimon rejects Brera with Derises and accepts Brera with Derabbanans, because this Amora holds that whoever accepts Brera accepts it in both Derises and Derabbanans, and whoever rejects Brera rejects it in both Derises and Derabbanans. So once again, the laser tag champ who hid behind the kusi barrel of wine and declared his future intent to take Trumas and Maestras successfully zapped his opponent, who was chosen from the five-man team, to go beyond the Tchum and share the message that Brera never works for Derises or for Derabbanans. Right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the similar Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. When the pirate with a peg leg, that must be on Daf Lamed Gimel. When the pirate with the peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out, which reminds us in a brisa that was brought as the source for the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, whether the Rabbanans applied during Bein HaShemashos, Rebbe said that if one placed the Erev in a basket and hung it on a tree, even if it is hanging above 10 tefachim from the ground, the Erev is valid. Ravina clarifies that the tree lacked a width of 4 tefachim and is therefore not a rishus yachid, and the basket completes the width to a total of 4 tefachim. Rebbe views the basket as if it had a width of 4 tefachim because he holds, like Rebbe Meir, who holds chokking l'hashlim, that we imaginarily carve out a solid edifice to achieve the required dimensions. In this case, we view part of the tree that is adjoining the basket as if it were hollowed out, thereby extending the width of the basket to a width of dal tefachim. Rebbe requires a width of dal tefachim because he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, who said, being an Erev al gabi makam arba, we require that the Erev be in a place that is at least 4 tefachim wide so that it's a makam chashuv. So when the pirate with a peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out and had invisible mechitzos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the basket is not considered to be a rishus yachid, since halakhically it's viewed as if it's 4 tefachim wide, and therefore the Erev should be invalid because it is no longer accessible from the rishus of Rabbi. This would be in line with Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda said that an area that is elevated 10 tefachim high off the ground and is 4 tefachim wide is considered to be rishus yachid based on the principle of good achis. We view the walls of the elevated basket as if they extend down to the ground and make up a mechitza of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answers that even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in this case, the basket is not a rishus yachid because we must first apply the principle of chokaking l'hashlim to make the basket 4 tefachim wide and then use the principle of good achis to extend the walls downward, and we do not combine these two principles together. So when the pirate with a peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out and had invisible mechitzos, he shot a cannonball, and the basket tipped over. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Erev in the basket could be valid in a tree which is 4 tefachim wide, which gives the tree the din of Rishus Yachid. Seemingly, the Erev in the basket would be invalid since it's not accessible to one standing in Rishus Rabbim. Rabbi Yirmiyah explains that a basket is different since he can tilt one end of it downward and bring it within 10 tefachim of the ground. This would cause the Erev inside to be transferred from a Rishus Yachid to a Carmelis, making it accessible to one standing Rishus Rabbim during Bein HaShemashos, and therefore it is valid. Daf Lamed Daled. So the symbol Lamed Daled is a ladder. A ladder. So here goes. This strange man who climbed a ladder. A ladder? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The strange man who climbed a ladder to make his Makam Shvisa on top of a closet, which reminds us on Daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Erev in a basket is valid even if it is above 10 tefachim in a tree, which is 4 tefachim wide, since the basket can be tilted downward, bringing the Erev within 10 tefachim in the ground, which is the din of a karmelis, and thereby making it accessible to bring it into Rishus of Rabbim during Bein HaShemashos. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yirmiyah based on a braisa that states that if one intended to establish his makom shvisa, his Shabbos residence, on top of a closet, which was placed against a wall, and he placed the Erev in the closet below 10 tefachim, which Rashi explains means at height of 9 tefachim, in a place people use to adjust their loads, which is the status of Rishus of Rabbim, the Erev is invalid. The Erev is in Rishus of Rabbim and requires to be transferred to the top of the closet, which is Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara asks why the Erev is not valid, being that one may tilt the closet, as Rabbi Yirmiyah stated. Rabbi Yirmiyah answered that the closet mentioned in the braisa was nailed to the wall, making it impossible to tilt the closet. Rava answered that even if the closet was not nailed to the wall, the Erev would still be invalid since the braisa was discussing a tall closet, that if one would tip the top forward, it would extend more than Dalet Amos from the wall, and then he would not be within 4 Amos of the place that he had designated as his Makom Shvisa. So the strange man who climbed a ladder to make his Makom Shvisa on top of a closet and then accidentally dropped his Erev into a deep pit, which reminds us the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis stated that if one placed an Erev in a pit, even if it was 100 Amos deep, the Erev is valid. The Gemara seeks to determine where this pit was located. If it was in Rishus HaYachid, then why does the Mishnah state that even if the pit is 100 amos deep, just as the Rishus HaYachid extends all the way up to the heavens, so too does it extend all the way downwards, and therefore there's no chiddush in saying that even if the pit is 100 amos deep. On the other hand, if the pit is in Rishus HaRabim, then it's obvious that the Erev is invalid, since the person's Makom Shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim, and the Erev is in Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara concludes that the pit is in a karmelis, and the mission is going according to Rebbe, who holds that kol davar shemishum shvus will gazru la bein hashmashos. Any Shabbos prohibition, which is a derabbanan, is not forbidden during bein hashmashos. So the strange man who climbed a ladder to make his makom shvisa on top of a closet, and then accidentally dropped his Erev into a deep pit, forgot where he put the key for his closet made of bricks that he needed to get a rope from. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nasim b'migdav va'avid ha'mafteach, if he placed the Erev in a closet, and then he locked it, and then he lost the key, making the Erev inaccessible, according to the Tanakhama, the Erev is still valid. Rabbi Yezer said that if he doesn't know where the key is, it is not a valid Erev. The Gemara asks why the Erev should be valid according to the Tanakhama, since his Makom Shvisa is in one place and the Erev is in another. Rashi explains that even though they're both in Rishus HaYachid, the Erev is still inaccessible, making it as if they're in two different places. Rav and Shmuel both say that the case is dealing with a closet made of bricks and is going according to Rav Meir, who holds Pochas L'Chilchil V'Noto, that if a house of produce was sealed, making the produce inaccessible on Yantav, one may break through the wall and take the fruit. The Gemara clarifies that the bricks of the house were not cemented together, so breaking the wall would not be violating Soser of demolishing. Daf Lamed Hay. So the Simra Lamed Hay is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir sang la la la. Children's choir singing la la la. That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hay. The children's choir sang la 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 when they finally got their Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, which reminds us, the Gemara brings two more explanations for the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yezer regarding an Erev locked in a closet and the key is lost. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say, Hacha b'migdol shel etzoskin, we're dealing with a closet made of wood. The Tanakhama holds that it's a kli, and ein binyan b'kelim v'ein stir b'kelim, and the malacha of building and destroying does not apply to utensils. Therefore, the person may break open the closet even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yezer holds the closet is an oil, which may not be demolished on Shabbos or Yantav. The Erev is invalid because it's inaccessible. Abai and Rava both say, B'manu b'katu b'masna askinan. We're dealing with a closet that has a lock, which is tied with a rope, and a knife is needed to cut the rope. The Tanakhama held like Rabbi Yossi, who said, Kol kelim nitalim b'Shabbos. All kelim may be taken on Shabbos, except for muksa machmas cheseron kis. Therefore, a knife can be used to cut the rope. Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Nechemiah, holds that kelim can only be taken letzorach tashmishan for their primary use. Therefore, the knife cannot be used. So the children's choir sang la 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 when they finally got the Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, but stopped when it blew away and got crushed under a heap of stones. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nisgalgal chutz l'tchum, if the Erev rolled beyond the tchum, the navel of gal or a heap of rubble fell on it. If this occurred while it's still day, it is not a valid Erev. If it occurred after dark, it is a valid Erev. The Gemara clarifies that in the first case, the Erev rolled beyond Dalet Amos from the edge of the tchum. And in the second case, according to Rebbe, it was a case where he needed a hoe and a pick to excavate the Erev, which is the issue of the rice of digging. If it was just a case of moving the rocks by hand, it would be permissible to do, according to Rebbe, during Bein HaShemashos. The Gemara explains that both cases are needed. The case of Nisgalgal Chutz L'Tchum teaches that even if a wind could blow back inside the tchum, the Erev is still invalid. The case of Nafala of Gaal teaches that even though it's physically within the Tchum, the Erev is not valid. So the children's choir sang la, la, la when they finally got the Erev out of the locked wooden closet tied with a rope, but stopped when it blew away and got crushed under a heap of stones, which had been dislodged by men who were measuring the Tchum by a mountain. Which reminds, the Mishnah introduced the Malchus when it is suffering when the Erev became inaccessible, with Rebbe Meir going l'chumra and prohibiting the use of the Erev. The Gemara clarifies that Rebbe Meir goes l'chumra because he holds Tchumim are deraisa. The Gemara questions this based on Rebbe Meir saying that one may use the lenient method of Makadrin Baharim for measuring the Tchum. This method involves viewing a mountain as if it was drilled through and is only permitted in Durabanan cases. So how could Rebbe Meir permit this if he holds Tchumim are deraisa? The Gemara answers that Rebbe Meir himself holds that Tchumim are deraisa, and he was only quoting his Rebbeim who permitted Makadrin Baharim because they held Tchumim are Durabanan. Daf Lamed Vav. So the symbol of Lamed Vav is a lulav. A lulav. So here goes. The two lulavim, lulavim, that must be more on Daf Lamed Vav. The two lulavim floating in the mikvah with the questionable 40 saw, which reminds us, the Gemara points out a difficulty that on the previous Daf, Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah regarding an Erev Tchumim, which is a Durabanan, that Safek Erev Lakua. Whereas in the Mishnah brought from Mikvos, he holds Safek Tumu Lachumra with the Tumah Durabanan. Rav Huna Bar Chinina said, Sha'ani Tumah Hovi Yeshua Iker Min HaTorah. Tumah Durabanan is different since it's a concept rooted in a Deraisa, meaning that there's a Tumah Deraisa, and therefore we are Machmer, even by Tumah Durabanan, so that one will not come to be lenient by doubtful Tefillah when he is Tamid Deraisa. Erev Tchum, however, is purely a Durabanan innovation. The Gemara provides two additional answers. So the two lulavim floating in the mikvah with a questionable 40 saw had two loaves of truma stuck on each of them, one tahor and one tame. Which reminds us, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Huna that if one had two loaves of truma, one tame and one tahor, and he didn't know which was which, and after placing the two loaves at the edge of the tchum, he said, let my erev be made with a tahor loaf, whichever one it is the erev valid? Rav Huna answered that according to both Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, be'inin suda haruyim ba'od yom v'leika. We require a meal that is suitable while it is still day on Friday, and it is not in this case, meaning that since he doesn't know which loaf is the tahor one, he's not permitted to eat either of them. Therefore, the erev was not suitable to eat at the time that he placed it. Rashi explains that in the Mishnah's case of a suffix, the erev was suitable at the time that he placed it. So the two lulavim floating in the mikvah with a questionable 40 saw had two loaves of truma stuck on each of them, one tahor and one tame, and were taken to opposite sides of the city to be used as erevin. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces the concept of brera, of retroactive designation, and shows how it may be used in the case of placing an erev. A person may place two erevin in opposite directions of his makom shvis and say, if a chacham comes from the east, my erev is to the east. If he comes from the west, my erev is to the west. If one chacham comes from the west and the other from the east, l'makom she'eretz ha'elach, I shall go to the place I choose on Shabbos. This means that the erev which is in the direction he chooses will be retroactively valid and the other void. Rav Yehuda said that in the case of the two chachamim that come from different directions, if one was his Rebbe, he must go to his teacher. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we assume that he wanted the Erev that was in the direction of his Rebbe to take effect. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions on Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff did you learn that one cannot combine Chokakin L'Hashlim and Good Achis together? That's on Daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 2, which stuff did you learn that one cannot make an Erev for one person from a group of people and then choose which person it is for on Shabbos? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which of you learned the mission of an Erev in a locked closet and the key is lost with the Malchukas Tanakamen Rabbi Lezer? That's on Duff. Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which of you learned what the din is if the Erev was blown away or under a heap of rubble? That's on Duff. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 5. Which of you learned the case of Brero with the Kusi wine and making verbal declarations with the intent to separate Trumas and Maestros later physically? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which have to learn that one cannot place two loaves, one tahor and one tame for his erev if he doesn't know which one was tahor? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 7. Which have to learn that the Rabbanan hold that one cannot use a grave for the place of an erev since it's forbidden to make a dwelling with his Suri Hana? That's on Daf Lamed Av. Good. Number 8. Which have to learn that an erev less than 10 tefachim high in a tree is valid based on Rebbe who holds Kol Davar Shehu Mishum Shvus, or Gazra Allah Bein HaShmashos? That's on Daf Lamed Beis. Good number 9. Which daf to learn why Rabbi Yossi holds that Safek Tumah Chumra even with a Tumah de Rabbanan. That's on daf. Lamed Vav. Good. And number 10. Which daf to learn that Rabbi holds an Erev in a basket above 10 Tfachim in a thin tree is valid because of Chokakin Lahashim. That's on daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf to learn a Kobi de Shemaim Chutz Meir Shemaim. That's on daf. Lamed Gimel and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which daf to learn who wrote the Brachos of Birchos of Muslim. That's on daf. Mem Ches and Brachos. Good. Number 3. Which daf to learn why the Tani used the words Klal Gadol to introduce the Mishnah. That's on daf. Samech Ches and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.